Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
What I'd like to do, we're going to call Chris and Julie up. This is Plus One, and Chris and Julie are going to be sharing on a really personal topic, which is marriage and their salvation. And so what I'd like to do, Chris and Julie, come on up. We're going to pray for you before we begin. They're part of Antioch, and it's never easy when you're vulnerable. And as they prepared, they spent a lot of time just kind of looking through things and preparing and talking through it because they're sharing their life. And we know this is a safe place, but as safe as it is, it's still hard, right? So why don't you stretch your hands towards them? Lord, I thank you, Chris and Julie are just going to share their hearts today. Amen. Lord, we just pray. I've already told them over and over again, it has nothing to do with them. It's just the words that they share. It's Holy Spirit, what he's going to do. So Lord, as they share, we just pray it would flow freely for them and that that they would just know that what is being said is what is needed to be said. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give total permission to do what you need to do in this house. And we thank you for their vulnerability in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Why don't you guys welcome them?
Good morning. All right, you said I can't whisper, so I'm going to. Good morning. I was hoping the presence of the Lord, that the healing, I thought, oh, good, maybe we won't have to talk. You know, we'll go a different direction. That would be nice. So anyway, good morning. We are so thankful to be in the house today. We see some new faces. We have some dear ones. We have some family in the house. Friends and family, I think they brought popcorn, thinking it's going to be quite entertaining. So we will see. So those of you who don't know us, or if you're watching online, we are Chris and Julie Welch. And it has been our great joy to call ACM Antioch our home for the last 12 years. This is our church fam. So you'd think we shouldn't be as nervous, but for whatever reason, it makes it a little difference. So, but we are just so grateful to be in this house full of mighty men and women of God. We take time to honor our leadership. If you spent any time and you've been here even one Sunday, you know Pastor Jay's heart for community, his heart for family, and his heart for marriage. So, and sharing the good news. So, we hope we do that today. Now, Chris is going to pray.
Okay, I'm just going to say a little prayer here. You know, we want to thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We ask you, God, to help Julie and I to share our stories so it will bring encouragement and hope to all who are listening. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide us and bring us the right words to share in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to start with this verse from Lamentations. It's 3:22-23. It's because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Now, this verse reminds me of a phrase that Julia has repeated for many years. It was, the sun will come out tomorrow, and how true it is. I think that our daughter, Michaela, is going to get that, too, with that phrase in it, because it's one of many. Well, a story starts with many ups and downs over the years, including dark, anxious nights waiting for the sun to come up. We can testify, though, that the joy does come in the morning. And God is faithful. His word is true, and he has sustained us through it all. Now, Julie's going to share a little bit about our early years and how when we first met, we were broken, literally. I had a broken arm and she had a broken leg.
Truly, truly. Yeah, it was 1994. Yeah, and I was so young and I hobbled down the beach, Seacliff Beach, with a cane to a bonfire. It was kind of a blind date with a girlfriend. Anyway, it was love at first sight. But before I dive in, I just want to say we stand before you today and we're free. And I may cry. Or do my weird smile that my kids hate. But I think that's appropriate when we're talking about tough things. Talking about past sin and shame and fear can be uncomfortable, but we have experienced freedom and restoration through Jesus. And I'm so thankful, and I just want to declare and thank him again. Lord, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for your mighty name. His name brings victory, just even in his name. So when we call upon it, there's victory. And you are Jesus, Jehovah Shammah, the present one. You're here. Jesus, Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. You are Jesus, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, and your banner over us is love. You are Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. He gives us everything needed, like Brother Sean's prophetic word this morning. Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, he's the one that heals. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If he can do it for us, he can do it for you. And so our prayer is that when you hear our story today, that you'll be encouraged and get hungry for freedom. All right, so our marriage life over the last 24 years, you know, if it was a movie, you could picture National Lampoon's with a little bit of Weekend at Bernie's. And as a girl, you know, I wanted Princess Bride, right? I wanted As You Wish and maybe a little Dirty Dancing. We've taken salsa dancing lessons over the years, so we're working on it. But we wasted a lot of time. We wasted so much time lying to ourselves, lying to each other. Chris didn't even tell me that he had a daughter till our second date. He had a daughter from a previous relationship, and he was so smooth. I had sent a picture, but I guess we don't have it. Girls, you should have seen him. He had long hair. It was like Michael Bolton. He was very handsome. Very handsome. Anyway, we were married. So we met in 94, married in 98, and already by early 2000, I was leaving. You know, the phrase marriage is 50-50, that's not true. Divorce is 50-50. Marriage is 100 and 100%. You need to bring your 100% to each other. And when we met, we weren't even doing 50-50. We were going from one crisis to another, functioning out of PTSD and trauma in a crazy state of hyper-emotions. I work in long-term care, and there's all this education coming out right now about kind of that COVID PTSD, that hyper state of hyper-emotions. Anyway, we tried to support each other and make our marriage work. And we're visual learners, so we thought we would just show you some of our baggage that we brought in. So I'm going to start with mine. All right. This is mine, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, not anymore, but this is what I brought in. So I brought in some fear. What else did I bring in? Oh, I brought in... Do you want to hold this and I'll put them on? I brought in some sexual trauma. I brought in... I like to escape. I love to read books. Me and my sister, we love to read books. Oh.
Here, Julia.
Oh.
We'll just hold it. We're kind of...
I brought in alcohol abuse. I was a bartender and a waitress, so they would buy you free shots when you worked. And so before I knew it, I was drinking more than I should. And then I experienced this. I was raped. And then I had an abortion. And then I was covered in shame. So... And I have to say that there was a time that I couldn't even say some of these words that were on these bags. I was so caught in shame. I couldn't say them, let alone acknowledge them or talk about them. So anyway, November of 99, early 2000, 1 year of marriage, we're heading for a divorce. Chris and I are fighting all the time. I just had a miscarriage, and I thought for sure that God was punishing me. And then the final straw was when I had the police call my house one night asking me to pick up my husband at the hospital. Yep, things were unraveling.
Well, if you're wondering why I was at the hospital, it's because I had a bad cut from a fight. Yeah.
I think you got thrown through a window.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Sort of. I threw him through the window, but I got cut. So, but maybe hard to believe, but I did get in fights. No, I really started them because I didn't like fighting. I was, you know, I always tried to stop it. But the problem was when, I was provoked and my anger would kick in, and then that wasn't good. It was hard for me to stop. Once it was clicked, that was it. So most of the time, I was just fighting myself, though, my own demons, you know, as it goes. I brought many issues into relationship with Julia. But the worst was my anger. Now, I was hiding most of my other baggage and not dealing with them, either with Julia or with God. I was usually just trying to deal with, you know, everything on my own, you know. So here was some of mine. I have some stuff here that I was dealing with. So first was abandonment. My father left when I was 2 years old, so that started to give me a lot of issues. And then I had some past relationships. You know, I do have a daughter from another relationship, not a marriage, but... And then I had some sexual trauma myself when I was young. Unwanted things. And then the fear started kicking in. And then with that, shame. I had lots of shame about a lot of things. And then some alcohol abuse. I started drinking quite a bit. First on weekends and then much more than that. And then I started experimenting with drugs, a few different things. That wasn't good. Okay. And then pornography. You know, I was getting into that a little. And then with all this, all these issues, I had a lot of anger, just all built up. Yeah. So, yeah, I was angry about my stuff. I was angry about Julia's stuff, which you heard, you know, being the husband. Couldn't fix these things. You know, so when things got tough, that was my go-to emotion. Yeah, like I said, I couldn't fix it, so I'd get angry. It affected everything about me. So I let my past hurts and failures control my future for a long time. And I was wasting my life, basically. I was lost and letting the past define my future. I had a lot of wrong beliefs that seemed impossible to change. But the good thing was, sometimes when I was alone, I would think about God and I'd hope and pray for a change. You know, for God to forgive me, to accept me. And I didn't know how to do it. It seemed impossible. But here in Matthew 19:26, it says, with man, all these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So I started saying out loud what I wanted and started believing in faith to see it through. I started opening up to Julia and Pastor Jay, admitting my fears and sharing my feelings. I started praying more often and asking for forgiveness. And I soon realized that I had to forgive myself as well. Now, I even had to forgive God because I was holding a grudge against him. And that's not good. So a few years ago, when I was driving home from work and I was feeling weary and hopeless, I tried to sing. I started crying out to God and asking him for some hope, you know, for a sign. And as I looked beside me in the passenger side, I saw this bald eagle flying right very close to my car. It was probably only about 50 feet away, same eye level. And wow. Now, that reminded me of this verse on my Bible case cover. It's Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. So, you know, tells me the Lord is always willing to give you what you need just when you need it. And I really needed it right then. So I realized that I had to change me. Using God's word, it wasn't just God that's going to change me. I had to do my part. You know, God's word is the perfect truth. And I had a choice to make. I had to choose life right then or choose death. And I decided I wanted life.
So yeah, we both wanted life, but we didn't know how to get there. I mean, look at all of our stuff. How could we function together? We were barely okay ourselves, let alone functioning as a team. Listen, I want to tell you, I went to Sunday school. I heard a lady call them Christers. We went on Christmas and Easter. But I went to Sunday school. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 13 at Camp Henry, at Girl Guys Camp. I went to the front at Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames in high school. But I also sat beside a tree and tried to connect with nature and Mother Earth. And my Aunt Maxine taught me how to astral project. So I was very aware of spiritual plane. The gifts are without repentance. I was prophetic and could sense good and evil, but had forgot about Jesus. So shortly, we're talking now back about Chris's incident. Shortly after the incident with him and the boys downtown, the Lord put me into an incident where I was with the girls at a party and they left me there. And I ended up in a real bad situation. And I was afraid, rightfully so. And I hid. I had ended up hiding in a closet. And I hid in a closet and I said, Lord, you got to help me. And in desperation, I said, Jesus, if you're real, I need you to get me out of this situation. And I had like two video cameras playing at the same time. On this side and then the other on this side. And I saw my life and I heard an audible voice speak to me that night in the closet. And it said, I set before you life or death, choose life. And then I passed out. And then I woke up at 4 a.m. I opened this closet door at this house party. Things were chaos. And I walked right out the front door, found my car in a farmer's field. I went home and I said to Chris, I'm going to church. Fast forward. So I just have to tell you, when you seek him, you'll find him. Okay. So we did try and go back to our First Baptist church where we did Christmas and Easter and Sunday school, and it wasn't a good fit. But fast forward, I had just heard his voice and I was seeking him. Like, he saved me out of a big mess. And didn't I get invited randomly to a woman's Bible study from the pastor of this outreach church? So I'm sitting at this women's Bible study, and the first day I'm there, they're making coffee, she says, oh, we're going to talk about this verse in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 30:19. I set before you life or death, choose life. I didn't even know it was a verse. So, and I'll tell you, that was the beginning, and we sure needed him, because all hell broke loose once we became Christians. So guess what, guys? There's stuff that happens after you come to Jesus. So this is some of the stuff that we picked up after. So,
really?
So, you know, the first one is I had a miscarriage after I knew Jesus. So I'd had one before and after, and I was like, what is that? That's not fair. We had, that came in through our front door. That was awful. We had financial struggle. Yep. Job loss. We got like a crazy bill in the mail, chronic illness. All of a sudden I couldn't work. I'm looking for this one. Oh, and we had trauma. We had, awful loss. Friends of ours passed away suddenly, sudden deaths, time true. We had broken relationships. Oh, and then spiritual abuse. We picked up some religion and some legalism. I didn't know. I was in an outreach church that was Mennonite Brethren, and I was so hungry for God that I had went to a Joyce Meyer's conference, and they talked about speaking in tongues, and so nobody laid hands on me, but all of a sudden, I am speaking in tongues and on fire for God, and it didn't go well in that denomination. So we got kicked out of a church for speaking in tongues. But yeah. I will tell you, God restored that relationship, and that pastor is off being a missionary, and we are in wonderful fellowship now. So I'd never asked him, though, if he's speaking in tongues yet or not, but maybe. Maybe.
Let me put these on there. Well, I'll have to say it. When those things started coming at us, the Word was our anchor. A steady truth in the midst of the trials. Now in Romans 5, 3-8, it says, this is in the Passion Version, it says, even in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. Our patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, powerless to save themselves. No, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly.
Like I said, I wasn't prepared for all of that stuff in yellow. I was so naive and on fire, and God was doing such miraculous things. Like, our whole family got saved. My stepdad is putting up chairs. Like, it was a powerful time. And I just was Psalm 91. I'm safe under his wings. Nothing bad will happen. But then all of this stuff happened, and we learned really quickly the power of prayer and that we had to be on our knees. When the things you fear the most come upon you, you are brought low and desperate. So we also learned that the devil doesn't fight fair. He does want to destroy marriages, families, and he wants to take you out. But God gives us the tool of prayer.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, early on, we marveled at the power of prayer and worship. It was when we had supernatural interventions, like, you know, we were being invited to a marriage retreat and singing waters, and we ended up getting some prophetic words in season, supernatural provision, you know, like $1,000 in an envelope in our mailbox, and groceries, a free van, jobs.
And you would think, and the prophetic, that marriage retreat was awesome. It was the first time Chris ever had heard of the prophetic. Freaked him out. He was mad at me. He's like, did you call ahead and tell them? I'm like, no. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, he knew everything.
He was like, what is this? Where is she taking me? And you would think, in the midst of all these miracles, so we're saved. Okay, we are saved. It was a season of wonderful conferences. I did a lot of carpet time, and I was going from conference to conference, and I was so desperate for his presence and breakthrough. And I read every Bible study book on how to love your husband, how to be a good wife. I so desperately wanted to fix things, but it wasn't working. I learned from a dear sister that you can actually, like, lay hands on yourself and pray. So I would sit in my car, and I would pray. I would hide in the bathroom, and I would pray, Lord, help, settle my mind, my emotions, just help. So we're still doing this. We're serving in the church, like 3 times a week we're there. We're doing outreach, we're doing healing ministry, we're teaching Sunday school, he's singing, but we just got over a 1-year chronic illness. We were in house renovations. We were trying to run a business. One of my cherished friends moved out west, we were just in a season of transition. And that battlefield in my mind hit again. And I had 3 girlfriends who just happened to be leaving their husbands. And a bitter root all of a sudden rose up in me, because they would talk to me and share things that I could relate to. I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, be careful who you listen to. I have seen marriages fall apart over coffee pot conversations. I've also seen marriages come together. Sister Tony, I saw it in the spirit with her and Pastor Kirkley at intercession prayer. She got her husband. I can't explain it, but I saw it in the spirit. So be careful who you're talking to, and even what words are coming out of your mouth. So anyway, one night we're coming home, and it's like 2005, and I'm like, we should be in a better place, and how are we still struggling with some of these same issues? And we had a powerful time at Lighthouse. They had one of those foot washing ceremonies with the migrant workers, and the presence of God was so thick. It was super powerful, just beautiful. And I'm driving home, and I had a revelation, and God says, you know the love and compassion you displayed for your brothers and sisters? Have you done for Chris? Why don't you pray for your husband like he's a brother? He's my son, just as you're my daughter, and I created him for you to be my helpmate. And I'll tell you, when the Lord speaks something to you like that, you listen. So he gave me that tool, and I started to do that, and it was awesome. But I still couldn't fix it, even with my best efforts. And somebody here today needs to hear this. God's compassion trumps your capabilities. I'm going to say that again. His compassion trumps your capabilities. We need his compassion in our marriages. We need his compassion in our everyday life. Like, forget about all this junk. Me and him are just super different people. I'm an extrovert. He's an introvert. I'm social. He's not. My first reaction is yes. He's always a no, which was weird why I said yes to this. He likes orders and plans, and I can go with the flow more. We have different love languages. His is acts of service. I'm quality time. His work ethic was so amazing. He would work like 2 jobs, 7 days a week, but I was home and lonely and on fire for God, and I had poor boundaries. The poor guy would come home to find his supper's not ready because I'm having Bible study with a bunch of strangers at my table. Like, we wondered why we had issues. And maybe that's why when we got married in 1998 that our friends and even some of our families were placing bets in the hall where we got married that night. On how long our marriage would last. Right out of the gate, word curses were spoken over us. She's too young. It won't last. He'll leave her. She'll leave him. Our parents are divorced. Maybe we will be. We both have an awesome set of parents, and we do blended family. And blended families can get messy, but God can give you the grace to handle it. And something else when we were praying this week on what to share, I just want to share that if you are here today and you are from a blended family or you've experienced divorce, I just want to say I'm sorry. Divorce is hard and painful, and God draws near to you when you're mourning that loss. And I'm sorry, and I repent on behalf of the church and any brother or sister who may have said something to you in ignorance. It's not God's heart for you, and he wants you to be free. So anyway, back to the bags. Another thing about these bags, I almost didn't want to do it because we had finished this wonderful women's Bible study, Jeannie Allen, and she said this. What she loves about her generation is that we are more likely, like our generation, especially the young ones, but our generation more likely to name our junk. But are we willing to repent from it? There is nothing holy about authenticity without repentance. Authenticity without repentance is narcissism. James 5:16 says we confess to each other not the dirty details of our sin, but the fact of them. We confess, we grieve, we turn from it, we all struggle, but nothing but the blood of Jesus makes us clean.
Yeah. Well, I figured out early on that there's always a way to clean up your messes and your mistakes. You know, God can and he will. You know, he'll forgive you if you ask. And there's freedom in giving up and giving away your sins and your fears, your unbelief. You have to give it all away. And there's a great chance that your spouses will forgive us as well. We just have to ask. Be real. Be honest. You know, yeah, we have to be honest. First with ourselves, then to God. And then to our spouses. Or, you know, or even our other loved ones or friends, you know. Nothing beats honesty in prayer. Now, sorry to say this, but even after our salvation and after our openness and confessions, we'll still struggle with some habits or sins, you know, and we tend to beat ourselves up like I did with this so-called negative self-talk, and therefore I'd hinder myself and my future freedom. I used to be a perfectionist, you know, and I'd set impossible standards, you know, for myself and for others, you know, and for Julia and kids, you know. It only set me up for further disappointments and believing that, you know, maybe I failed, Julia failed. You know, it's not true. I realized I needed help. I reached out to, you know, a Christian friend and Pastor Jay.
So if anything, the other key we're trying to express to you is that God creates you for connection. You need someone other than your spouse to pray for you, to uplift you in times of trouble. You need someone who's going to speak truth to you, to tell you you're walking in the flesh. The Bible says a blow from a friend is better than a kiss from the enemy. God designed us for connection with him, with our spouses, with the body of Christ. That's why I love women's Bible study. I need to hear how Pastor Gary and Jack made it 55 years, right? We need each other. We need that encouragement. If you don't have that yet, if you don't have anyone, pray and ask him. You can pray and rest that he's your maker. He's your husband. He's the best helpmate. And he sits in heaven on what's called the mercy seat at the right hand of God, praying for you. His word says he makes intercession for you. When you stop and talk to him, when you stop and pray, he bends low. It's like he stands up and he can't wait. He bends low to hear you.
Well, God wants you to have peace and restoration in your marriage, in your other relationships. Love's not just a feeling. It's a choice, and it's a commitment. And he is here today, and he wants you. He wants to give you security. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you romance, intimacy. He wants you to experience friendship and trust, laughter and joy with each other. You know, your spouse deserves more than your leftovers. Isn't that the case at times? I know it is for myself. We give our leftovers to our loved ones and to God. Hey, I like leftover food sometimes, but most of the time I want that freshly prepared food. You know, I'm sure your spouse and your children and your loved ones want it as well. So your words, your comfort, and your understanding can feel new every day if you let them. Hey, I'm still not the best at being a husband or a dad, but I'm getting better. And Julie and I, we're both committed to making changes. We started, you know, with our hammock time. We used to, you know, we do once
not
in a while still.
Not hammock time, like Pastor hammock. Is it hammock?
Hammock time. You know, we'd spend like 15 minutes in there together after supper. Just spend time together and talk about things and connect. That was hard for me. I'm always busy. But I started making date nights and vacations a priority as also, you know, a priority also, not just an afterthought. You know, I'd pursue it. And little steps at first to connect, to help cement the idea that we're on the same team. Amen. And I think that's really important. You have to believe you're on the same team. Stop going different ways. Find out your worth, and you know, finding out your worth in Christ takes the pressure off the marriage.
I feel like you need to say that again.
Well, finding your worth in Christ takes your pressure off your marriage.
Amen.
You know, it takes the pressure off pretty much everything. It makes everything a lot easier. And you need to be free with God before you can be free in your marriage. You hear that? You need to be free with God before you can be free in your marriage. And the words from the 10th Avenue North song, You Are More, illustrates this very well. So it goes like this. I'm not going to sing it, but I wanted to.
I told him maybe he could. He could just sing our testimony. It would have been fabulous.
So it says, you are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problem you create. You've been remade. Because this is not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. And this is not about where you've been, but where your brokenness brings you to. And this is not about what you feel, but what he felt to forgive you and what he felt to make you loved. Now we pray that like us, your brokenness leads you to the cross. And you'll find hope today in knowing that restoration is possible.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You are more than whatever you're facing today. His heart beats for your healing. He can turn it all around for good. He will restore all the years that the enemy has stolen. I asked this week earlier, I said, Lord, this house has such a breaker anointing. Would you just come in here and break off all those things that are hindering your freedom and your relationship and your people? Surrender. Give him your all. Your life will never be the same. And just to close, when you call out, he answers. Psalm 34:4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He loves you. He's called you and he delights in you and he wants you free and healthy.
That's it.
Right, guys?
I'm just going to have them stay up here for a second because I want them to pray. You know, when you look at this, you can see the names of it, but when I look at this, I see hope. Because if people, individuals can be healed and set free and in a relationship with all that baggage, isn't that hope for everyone? Right?
Amen. We actually had two professional Christian counselors tell us they can't believe we're still married.
It wasn't me. I'm not.
It was a long time ago.
I just think that's fun.
This is hope. This is where you can look at your marriage and say there's a way through. And I know I've walked with, you know, I can't believe it's 12 years you've already been here. It's crazy. And our friendship is probably a little longer than that, but I've watched them through the good, the bad, the ugly. We vacation together, and I've watched them do the hard work and the talking and the going for walks, and Chris and I just talking on the phone. It does take that accountability and friendship. And if you're here today and you wonder about your marriage, you can make it. There's a way through. There's a way through. And if you're here today, one of the things, you know, there's so many points I'd love to highlight, but one of the things, even if you're young today, you know, my kids are young, different young people, I think the thing that was so highlighted is, you know, you knew the truth, you went to Sunday school, but our choices can make us go one way or the other. And so whether you've made that choice and you're in a mess, God can heal you. Whether if you're at the beginning line, I want you to make the great choices because he doesn't want you to have to go through all this, amen. So I'm going to do two things. I'd like everyone to stand because I think whether you're single or you're married, I just want them to pray for your marriages, for your mate that you're going to find. And then we are afterwards, and Aaron, if you can come up to play the piano just for a few minutes, we're going to open it up because if you're here and you're like, man, there are some things that you touched on that I need prayer for, you don't want to leave without getting prayer. I think that came up over and over again, key moments in their life, whether it was a Bible study, a conference, that God intervened. And so no matter what you can say about what you heard, they would tell you that they did the work, they prayed, but they had moments where God intervened that helped change things. And so we want to see that for you today, a moment where God can begin to intervene. So Chris and Julie, would you just pray for everyone in general?
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your great love. Father, we thank you for your great compassion that trumps our messes, that trumps our ability. It's not about what we do. We get to come to you. We get to rest in you. Father, we pray. We pray for every person here. Lord, I pray that the hidden things would come to light. Lord, that they would just like these bags, come and just drop them off at your feet. Father, we pray and declare Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals over the house today. We give you praise and glory and honor. It's who you are. It's your heartbeat for your kids because you love them and you delight in them. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, today's a good day.
God, I thank you for that freedom that you've given Julie and I. God, I feel there's people here today that think they're at their end, think they're hopeless, that there isn't something there to fix them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just reach into everyone's heart here today and say, no matter what you feel, God is there and he is ready to heal you and your marriages and your relationships. You just have to ask. And I thank you, Lord, that how true that is. And I thank you for your wisdom and your word, Lord,
amen,
that just gives us all the answers. We just have to seek you, Lord, and we will find the answer. We'll find you. That's really all we need to do. We just need to find you, Lord, and to search your heart and search your truth, you know, and search your love for your spouse, for your, just anyone in your life. God, you are a God of love. And with love, you can accomplish anything. You can get over any obstacle that's in your way. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that you never give up. And God, I just want to pray that over people, everyone here right now, that feeling of giving up would cease. God. And I just thank you for the freedom in this house today, Lord. And I just ask that we'd all reach into it right now to get that freedom that we need, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So if you're here today, we're just going to move the pulpit. If you're here today and you just know you need prayer, that could be obviously and foremost for your marriage. But it could also mean that you're here and you're sitting, you just even heard how God set them free and saved them as an individual, and you don't know Jesus. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray for salvation for you. We'd love to introduce you to not a dead God, not a God that we just go to church to honor, a God that's there every day of our lives. He's real. And he walks with us and he talks with us and he carries us through. And so if you don't know him, we'd love to introduce you. So we're just going to invite you. If you want to come to the line for prayer, please come up. If you feel to go, we ask you to fellowship in the Forge area, which is our foyer. And you can just say hello to people that you haven't seen all week. But we'd like to keep this just time for prayer. And I'm going to ask some couples to come up to help pray as well. But come on up to the line. We bless you. I love you. I pray you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And may God touch your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.